Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us, and a lot to talk about today. Brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to REWfinancial.com. These are interesting financial times. You need somebody that you have just incredible trust in. Rick Weibel is that guy. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open today at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. You can go to Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove and Routes 11 and 15, or preview it online at www.hilscherstore.com. Should college athletes be paid? Should they get a stipend? I'm against it. Corey Geiger of the Altoona Mirror has a different philosophy on it. The two of us will debate it for your ears to hear in just a few moments. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring.
Like a 2009 Ford Econoline cargo van E150 with the lowest price promise. So call for a price. 888-536-8017. 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, $12,999. 2006 Lexus LS 430, $2588. Like new 2011 Lincoln MKX four-wheel drive, $31,488. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, 5-speed, under 10,000 miles, just $34,995.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Tiger Woods had it going today. Got it to 3 under par. But he then bogeyed 14. And as far as I'm concerned, he bogeyed 15, even though he parred. You don't birdie 15, you give a shot back to the field. Simple as that. He had a five-footer for birdie, missed it. The part about the Woods thing that has bothered me over time a little bit is that I watched his press conference this week. And over, they're analyzing, you know, where he came up short, where it didn't work out, what happened, blah, blah, blah. You want to know why Tiger Woods hasn't won the Masters since 2005?
Because he hasn't played well enough?
Because somebody else played better.
Okay, because somebody's played better. Well, you know what? That proved your point, didn't I? I just proved your point, didn't I?
Because somebody else played better. If for some odd reason, those who write about such things and allegedly give perspective can't seem to grasp that. the reason he did not win is because somebody else played better. Other people are capable. In other words, he didn't lose the golf tournament. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, he must have lost the golf tournament, for goodness sake, because he's Tiger Woods. No, it's because somebody else won it.
You just love it when I play right into your hands, don't you?
You do it better than anybody else.
You're welcome.
It's almost stunning to listen to. But that is what it comes down to. Somebody else played better. In fact, he hasn't been finishing second. That means a whole bunch of people play better. Okay? That's what happened. Somebody else play better.
I have not had a chance. I've been watching updates on the screen, but I have not seen the coverage. Is your good friend from ESPN doing the play-by-play today?
You talking about Berman?
No. The one that always picks you up. Literally. Does Monday Night Football as well?
Oh, I mean Tirico.
Yeah.
No, no, no. You know, I haven't even watched the coverage today. I haven't even seen it. They're not on yet. They're not on until 3. They just went on now. I don't have it on.
Oh, okay. I thought you had it there in the Sunbury Motors studio.
No, I don't.
You need to fix that.
Well, I'd like to. At some point, I will. But the reason, for some reason, people can't get it through their heads. When he doesn't win, it's not because he lost. It's because somebody else won. And it does point out how difficult, as I've pointed out many times, how difficult winning is. Winning's not easy. Unless it's this show head to head with somebody else's, then it's not that difficult.
See, I think the problem is though that some athletes seem to do it so well and with ease that you just don't realize that it's not easy to do. It seems expected at that point.
No, you know what? I think there's more to it than that. I think what has happened is that now we have channels that are devoted specifically to sports and talk shows specifically devoted to sports as opposed to 30 years ago. Now, there'd be some here and there. I mean, sports talk 30 years ago was really hitting its stride across the country. Yeah, a lot of but not 24 hours worth of sports talk. Sports talk would be in the evening, 6 to 8, on name the station. I don't care, Cleveland, New York, even State College. When I did the show, I started out one night a week. I went to 3 nights a week. I went to 5 within the first 3-4 months. And we were on the air from 6 to 8. Then we finally backed that down to 5:30 to 7. And that's when we had it. The rest of the day, there was other programming. Now you have it dedicated to, you know, you get up and there's, you know, you can get sports talk in a variety of ways. I don't care whether it's Brando's show, Colin Cowherd, Mike and Mike, whatever it happens to be. But you can get 24 hours of sports talk all the time to go with 24-hour sports stations and a golf channel and an NBA channel and an NHL channel, an MLB channel, an NFL network. Well, you have to have things to talk about. And what was interesting, at least in the golf channel, I give them credit. You know, and they may be wrong in the end, but they weren't on the party line of picking Tiger. Frank Nabilo did. He says, look, he says, I'm going to go against everybody else here. I'm going to actually pick Tiger. But everybody else, you know, Justin Rose is kind of a hot topic. They went in a wide variety of picks. And I thought that, was great. It was refreshing to hear. But that's why they make it seem as if, and ESPN's the worst at this, obviously, but they make their selections. You must talk about LeBron. You must talk about Tiger. You know, when he was still active, you had to talk about Brett Favre.
There was a minimum.
No, I know somebody at ESPN. They said, look.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking here. I'm not kidding around. This is the philosophy of the network. Okay, the philosophy of the network is what I just talked about.
I mean, we always had that joke. I mean, amongst friends, it's like, oh, look, they're talking about LeBron. It means so-and-so is going to be up, and Tiger's going to be up in the next 5 minutes. I didn't realize that was serious.
No, that's serious. It's dead serious. That's dead serious. And I'm not kidding around when I talk about that. That it is for them, they know those are ratings drivers. And that's what this comes down to. This comes down to ratings.
Well, what happens if nothing, you know, if Tiger didn't play that tournament or whatever? I mean, what do they do then?
Well, no, but then the coverage of golf that week is minimal. Let's go to the Zurich New Orleans Open. Okay, fine. You go there, bang, 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 you know, and what would normally be maybe a 5-6 minute package on golf with a lot of Tiger highlights ended up being 90 seconds to 2 minutes. But if he's there, and it's a major in particular, he's the focal point of what is going on. And there's no doubt that one way or the other, whether you like him, don't like him, want him to succeed, want him to fail, Tiger Woods, if you're a network, you want him 15, 16, 17, and 18 being in the hunt.
Oh, you want him in that final group. You want him with a shot right to win it, yeah.
Because he will draw eyeballs, no question. So he's helped draw more attention to the sport. At the same time, there have to be some players now that really resent their accomplishments are minimized because he takes all the attention.
But then you throw in Tiger Woods with a Rory McIlroy, and then all of a sudden nobody talks about the rest of the field because they have this rivalry, which doesn't really seem to exist, but it just seems to be that way on television.
There is no rivalry. Okay, if, for example, let's take the Miami Heat. Everybody's going to now talk about, boy, the Heat, the Knicks, the Heat, the Knicks, the Heat, the Knicks, right?
Sure.
The Heat don't consider the Knicks to be their rivals.
That's a big TV market, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the Heat don't consider it.
Oh, no, I know what you're saying, but I'm looking at it from the other side, but that's a big TV market, so you have to make it a rivalry.
Well, the teams participating. I mean, to them, it's more important to beat the Celtics.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what they look at. That to them, that's a rivalry. I mean, they've gone toe to toe with them the last couple of years in the playoffs, and they've been great playoff series. But they don't look at the Knicks, despite their recent success, as being a real threat to them. Now, the networks may want to build it up. Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks. Okay, fine.
Now,
it's interesting because when you talk about rivalries, for example, now, like take Duke. Everybody's Duke's rival. All right? Maryland, big deal. Beat our rival Duke. Duke's rival's North Carolina. You're another game on the schedule. Simple as that. Maryland, big rivalry with Duke, but they aren't Duke's primary rival. Duke's rival is North Carolina. Maryland's another game on their schedule. Just the way it works out.
Did ESPN create rivalry weekend as far as college football. Was it like week 9 or something like that? They dubbed them rivalry weekend.
Well, they do that, but those are things that are already in place. Indiana plays Purdue. North Carolina plays Duke, things like that. I mean, those already exist.
So they're somewhat legit.
They're all legit. All the rivalries, they're all legit. Yeah. It's just they've asked if it's possible to schedule in that week so they can have rivalry week. That's all. Rivalries go back to the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And rivalries are where each side wins. Beating a team 33 times in a row, no rivalry.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Raucous. You ought to see Lawrence at the holiday party. Takes raucous to a new level. Wow. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror. We're hoping to get Corey on action a little bit earlier than this, but Corey, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Absolutely, Steve. Always enjoy it. And you can add the title Mr. Mom because I've got 2 7-month-old twins, and they were screaming their heads off about 20 minutes ago when Willie tried to call me, so I am terribly, terribly sorry that I'm running a little late.
It's okay. It's just great to have you on. Somebody called your show this week after Jim Boeheim went off on Doyle about the retirement question, and your answer was absolutely spot on. People said, why ask? He's 67 years old, 2 years past the mandatory retirement age. Corey, that question has to be asked.
Sure. Look, we dealt with this with Joe Paterno. He knew the question was going to be asked at the end of every year. He didn't really like when it was asked. But Joe was generally very professional with the way he would say, you guys, you know. But he would generally give a pretty professional answer. Everybody, Steve, I think, knows that I'm a big Syracuse basketball fan. That doesn't mean that I'm going to apologize for Jim Boeheim for the way he handles himself in the media a lot. The guy can be a complete and total jerk, and he was trying to be a complete and total jerk. And then one of the biggest complete and total jerks in the media business, Greg Doyle from CBSSports.com, called him on it. And it actually was a pretty funny moment between a coach and a media member. But at the end of the day, Jim Boeheim did give an answer. But, hey, he's been around for 50 years. He knows that question has to be asked.
Well, I look at this from his point of view. It gives him an opportunity to clear the air right away and then move on to the next thing.
Well, what Greg Doyle called him on, Steve, he said, hey, Jim, we ask 19-year-olds this question all the time, and they answer it better than you. Because right. Trey Burke had just been asked the question about whether he was going to return or not. Now, look, maybe after a Final Four loss, maybe it's not the best time in the world to ask it. But unfortunately, we in the media, it's not like we have tremendous access to these coaches. Sometimes that huge national stage is the only opportunity you're going to get to ask that question. And again, I've been a Syracuse basketball fan for 30 years. I want to know if Jim Boeheim's coming back. Again, it was in a weird, bizarre setting with the way they went after each other in the press conference. But at the end of it, Jim Boeheim did give an answer, and he gave a pretty passionate answer about why he wants to come back.
And for those who don't know, Doyle will fight you in the parking lot.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, for those who don't know, is a boxer.
Yep.
And he will challenge people in his columns. He'll say, hey, you got a problem with me? Come on. Well, let's fight.
All right. Big topic that's come up because of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, which is then picked up by Bob Stoops of Oklahoma. Whether or not collegiate athletes should be paid or get a stipend. Where do you stand on that?
Steve, I am 100% completely against it. College football players, as our good friend Mike Poorman from statecollege.com reported on last year, he did the math. If you go to Penn State for a 4-year degree on scholarship, you're going to get roughly $220,000 worth of education and food and books and all of those types of things. $220,000. And Steve, I'm a big believer that that is payment enough. Not all these guys are going to go to the NFL. And sure, Penn State and other schools, they might be making money selling jerseys of these players with their numbers and things like that. But the education that they're getting at Penn State that they can use to their benefit for the rest of their lives, that they're getting for free, Steve, I just believe that's payment enough.
I'm with you all the way. I think it is payment enough because 17 years from now, when you're filling out FAFSA forms, which I've done now for five, and you're going through the student loan thing, and then you're paying whatever, I make six trips a year, literally, because I do the installment plan. When you make six trips a year to the Shields building and see the bursar, as much as it's great to see Leslie and she's really, really nice, you still are handing over a check every single time. And that people don't, if you're going to say to the person in Ebensburg, Altoona, Selins Grove, Williamsport, that free education isn't compensation, I think you'd have a battle with those parents in the parking lot.
And, Steve, I just don't think that there is any kind of realistic way to divide that money up. Because, look, you go to a Penn State football game, you'll see the jerseys worn of Michael Robinson or a Matt McGloin or Evan Royster or any number of star players, Sean Lee, Paul Posluszny over the years. And, sure, Penn State is making money. The NCAA is everybody's making money off of selling those jerseys. I get it. I understand why the players would be upset, especially those players who come from maybe lesser economic backgrounds, and it's very difficult for them to have much of a personal life in college since they can't have a job and they don't really have any money.
Mm-hmm.
But, Steve, there are more than 100 players on a college football team. 85 of them are on scholarship. Are you going to give the third and fourth string linebacker the same amount of money that you're going to give Paul Posluszny and Sean Lee? Are you going to give the third-string quarterback the same amount of money that you're going to give Matt McGloin? You're not selling those jerseys.
Right.
And, frankly, are you going to give Megan Hodge or Blair Brown from other teams, the championship teams? Are you going to give Quentin Wright the same kind of stipends that you're going to give the football players? They're every bit as successful, at least in terms of college success. Maybe they're not making money, but shouldn't Megan Hodge deserve a stipend every bit as much as a third or fourth string linebacker on the football team who never plays?
And I always find it interesting, Chris Weber, he was with Mitch Albom. They walked past when he was still in college. He walked past a store, and they had a number four jersey on sale, and they were selling it for $75. And he was lamenting about it. Well, excuse me, but he ended up making tens of millions of dollars in the NBA. I think it paid off for him in the end.
Sure. Then he cheated, and the Fab Five all cheated, and I get sick of hearing them all the time talk about how great all that stuff was.
Right.
They knew they were cheating.
Sure.
And they still did it. But your point is a good one, Steve. Whether you're a great athlete and you go on and use that notoriety to become a rich and famous football player or basketball player, in Ed O'Bannon's case, although he didn't, or if you just use that Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State or Florida education to go on and become a successful business person in the business world, you're using that education that football or basketball is affording you. And again, like I said earlier, and you agreed with this, that we think that's payment enough.
Yeah, it's payment enough. Here's the next part. The value, and we can poll one college student after another here. What would the value in their life be of walking out with a degree debt-free?
You know what, Steve? I was able to do that, and I thank my lucky stars all the time.
Yep.
I am so, so unbelievably fortunate. I don't make any bones about it. I'm from the state of Arkansas, which has lagged in education for a long, long, long time. When in my state, if you finished in the top 10% of your graduating class, or you scored a 25 on the ACT, which I think is roughly equivalent to 1150 on the SAT,
mm-hmm.
in the state of Arkansas, because they wanted people to go to college, you would get a four-year all tuition paid to one of the state schools.
Right.
Pennsylvania is obviously a huge state, can't afford something like that. So I was so very fortunate to not have any debt when I came out of school. But I know so many friends, Steve, and especially with the economy the way it is, and it's tough to find good-paying jobs. I know guys and girls who are 28, 30 years old that still have $75,000 worth of college debt, and they're working jobs that pay them $30,000, and they're never going to be able to get out from under that. So, again, I have a little bit of a real-world perspective here because I know how much it meant for me to not have that college debt, but I do know how much it meant to my wife and some other friends who did have that college debt. And to, as you said, to walk away from college and not have that burden that's going to stick with you for 20 or 30 years, I think that is an enormous luxury that student-athletes have.
You do a great job every day, Corey, of coming up with topics that get people to call and talk. How much time do you put into that part of it in your preparation every day, saying to yourself, I think this could open the door and get some people to talk? Once you, you know, obviously you have a wide variety of guests. Then it becomes time for you to interact with the listeners. How much time do you put in those topics, and where do you come up with the ideas?
I probably spend at least 2 or 3 hours a day not maybe directly thinking about or writing down certain topics, but I'm watching SportsCenter, I'm watching or listening to the guys on the radio, be it Mike and Mike in the Morning or Colin Cowherd, Scott Van Pelt. I have a pretty good pulse for what's going on around the country, but what I don't want to do is I don't want to make my show 2 hours of things that people can get on talk show all throughout the rest of the day. I try to focus on the Pirates and the Steelers and the Penguins and the Curve and the Spikes and all those teams, and that's part of my everyday life anyway, Steve, dealing with Penn State football, dealing with, you know, the Pirates organization. So, and the one benefit that I have that I'm really thankful for, being on that 4 to 6 time slot, that is prime time for people to call. From 4 to 5, people are calling because they're getting ready to go home from work. From 5 to 5:30, people are calling because they're driving home. So having done the show for 4.5 years, I kind of have a decent sense of what people might want to call in and talk about, but sometimes I'll completely strike out. I'll have a topic that I'll think, hey, people are really going to want to talk about this, and that's not the case. And sometimes somebody will call in at 4:15 and ask me a question, and it'll be a much better topic than I really even came up with that day, so we'll just jump on that and ride that for a good hour or so.
That's always a lot of fun. What about the balance between trying to do the show? Now, it's very important in today's media, and this is something when I teach class, I talk to them about this. Diversifying, when we talk about a portfolio, they talk about diversifying. I think in today's media, diversifying is important, that you can kind of, you can get a little slice of income from TV, get a slice of income from radio, get a slice from newspaper. What's the balance that you have tried to create now that you're 4.5 years into this?
Well, the number one thing is that you have to have approval from the people who pay you at your primary job. And for that, and you have my friend and longtime colleague Neil Riddell on your program a good bit. For that, hey, Neil Riddell and our managing editor, Ray Eckenrode, they could have shut me down a long time ago. They could have said, hey, it's taking up 2.5, 3 hours of your day. We don't really want you on the air because we need you to focus more on the newspaper side, because that's my bread and butter, Steve, obviously. And I have never let the radio interfere with my newspaper responsibilities. But again, you have to have those people who understand that for me to be on the radio for a couple hours a day, generally, that's a good thing for the Altoona Mirror. Obviously, there was controversy with the Penn State scandal, and maybe that wasn't always a good thing having me on the radio during that time. But at the end of the day, I have support from the people at the Mirror, and they know that I'm going to, my allegiance is always going to be with the newspaper. And so, again, any college person coming out that wants to diversify, and I do agree with you wholeheartedly that it is a very good thing to do. You want to have your hand in a lot of different elements, but you have to make sure that you have the people at your primary job who are going to sign off on all of that.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, you have to have that support in the background to do it, but I also think that smart management in the end knows that that's beneficial down the road for everybody involved.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I've long thought that multimedia, and look, I'm far from the only person in the country that does this. If you watch and listen to ESPN or some of these national sports networks, there are a lot of newspaper writers who do radio shows, who do a lot of the multimedia stuff. Steve, you're everywhere. You know exactly. you know, what we're talking about here, doing all kinds of different, serving all kinds of different roles. The more you can make yourself available, to me, that is, that can only be a benefit for you, for your employer, for everybody. Now, the one, and I will say this, Steve, if you can allow me the forum, I've mentioned this on my show a few times. People think that, you know, I was looking for some kind of 15 minutes of fame or trying to become more, you know, get more notoriety during the whole Penn State situation because I did make a lot of national TV and radio appearances. Well, it couldn't be further from the truth. I've got 2 7-month-old kids. My wife is from Altoona. I'm never going anywhere. I'm not looking for a job at ESPN. I'm not looking for a job somewhere else. I am the drive time sports talk show host in State College on ESPN Radio. And for better or worse, that offered me an opportunity because people came seeking my opinion on a lot of things that happened at Penn State. And my opinion is not necessarily all that popular among a lot of people in the central Pennsylvania. But by no means was it me trying to seek the limelight or anything like that. It was me doing my job, my responsibility as a media member in central Pennsylvania to try to shed some what I think was unbiased light on everything from a perspective here. And I didn't get that opportunity because I'm a sports writer for the Altoona Mirror. I got that opportunity because of the radio show that I host. And I look back on all that and was good in a certain way. It was bad in a certain way. It caused me a lot of grief. I've taken a lot of grief that I still take from a lot of Penn State fans. But at the end of the day, Steve, I was trying to offer a perspective that the rest of the nation probably needed to hear from here.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show and why I like to have you on a more regular basis, because I think people need to understand things like that. Something that I, to be honest with you, I understood. I understood because, let's face it, some of those things were things I turned down because I thought I was not in a position to talk about it.
Sure. No doubt about it. And all of us, from every perspective, if we could all go back in time, we would all wish that none of it had ever happened.
Of course.
And that's the reality. The reality is that we can't do that. But I would just simply say this in my defense, and I've had to defend myself a lot more often than I have really ever wanted to, but I did those things because it was my responsibility as a member of the media, mm-hmm. not for seeking fame, not for trying to get a job elsewhere. It became pretty hurtful to me personally that so many people attacked me for that reason. But again, I've been in this business 20 years. Fans are not always going to like what you do or say, and that's just the reality of what we deal with in the media.
Well, but there's another reality, too, and I talked about this yesterday when I was talking about your appearance on the show. People read, you know, or hear you, whether it's you or me, okay? And, of course, based on your opinions and what they hear, they think they know you.
Right.
And it's only the people, as in anybody's life, that is around you all the time that really know you. And I was explaining yesterday, I said, you know, the guy I know is the guy that works hard, tries to get a story, tries to work on a story, knows every once in a while he makes a mistake, tries to correct this mistake, knows when he's doing it right, and then keeps on going, but then is also the same guy when it comes time to adopt 2 children, is down there adopting 2 children out of deep love in his heart. And that, you know, people don't know that part. So people, you know, if they think they know you because of what they read, or they think they know you because of what you say on the air, and it goes for all of us here as well, as I hear the baby in the background, they don't know you.
I would agree with that, and I think that's an exceptionally well, good way to put it, Steve. People don't know me. The biggest misconception that people have of me is that I don't like Penn State, that I want Penn State to lose, that I didn't like Joe Paterno. These things could not be further from the truth. I had great respect for Joe Paterno. It would make my job so much easier if Penn State won all the time. I mean, that means we're going to good bowl games, or at least later on we will be. That means that everybody's happy around the program. The misconception that people have that, Corey Geiger hates Penn State, he wants to see them lose, dead wrong. 100%, absolutely dead wrong. If any of your listeners think that I want to see bad things happen to Penn State, you're absolutely 100% wrong. The fact that I have to talk about them when they do happen to Penn State, mm-hmm. or the fact that I might be a little bit more critical of Penn State than some other people, sure, you're probably right about that. I do talk about things. I have a two-hour radio show. It's my job to analyze the football program. So when the football program goes 8-4, that's probably not acceptable to Penn State mm-hmm. at Penn State. And Penn State fans should realize that's not acceptable at Penn State. So we want to shoot the messenger in this country. And I would say this, Steve, kind of to wrap this whole thing up, is that we went through the worst sports scandal in our country's history. And it was very difficult for many people, you know, in this region. And we'd all wish that we never had to go through it ever again. It's certainly not something that I enjoy talking about, but it is my responsibility as a media member. And whether people want to hear it or not, they can always turn the channel, Steve. I've said that since day one.
Yeah.
If people don't want to hear what I have to say, they can turn the channel. My show is not for everyone. Your show is not for everyone. Mike and Mike is not for everyone. Scott Van Pelt is not for everyone. Media consumers can find people that they want to listen to or want to read, and they can, you know, gravitate in those areas. And if they don't like certain people, then they don't have to read or listen to them.
I was so disappointed to hear you say my show wasn't for everyone. You know, and that's the other part. Some people said, oh, Corey, Steve, but have you noticed how I've never said a critical word about Corey on the air? Has anybody noticed that? There's a reason for that. My friend, it was an absolute pleasure, as always. And can't wait to get you back on the show again and talk with you again.
I appreciate it, Steve. We got baseball season starting. We've got the middle of spring football drills and a blue-white game coming up. What a terrific time of year this is, my man.
It sure is. Corey, thanks so much. And I think it was very important what we talked about at the end because, again, I want it's important that people get to know you and what you say and what you think because you spent a lot of time up on the ropes a couple times with your arms up. So
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for saying that. Thanks so much.
Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror, personal friend of Kevin Herb. As we continue, what?
Okay. If you say so.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.